Hey everyone, and welcome back to another installment of the Travel and Tourism Podcast, my first season. My guest today worked for Club Med from 1990 to 1992. Her first season was in Club Med Playa Blanca with CDV, that's Chifa Village, Andrea Livingstone, and she was a nurse. She is originally from Queens, New York, and now lives in the Sunshine State. She went to Club Med as a GM when she was younger to Haiti and Copper Mountain in the early 70s. And then, around 87, she went to Club Med Cancun as a GM, got a splinter, went to see the nurse, and saw that, well, you know what? Club Med has nurses. About 2 years later, she got the Club Med magazine in the mail. Inside was an article called Become a GO, and that's what she did. Please help me welcome Andrea Chasen. Hey, Andrea, how are you?
Great, Greg. How are you?
Good. I'm glad we finally got together. We're going to do this interview. So thank you so much for contacting me. I'm excited for everyone to hear your story. So in the intro, you were a GM before you were GO. That's how a lot of ex-GOs start. I see you went to some very nice Club Meds, you know, Haiti and Copper Mountain. And Cancun. Cancun in the 80s must have been crazy. Of course, we can't talk about Cancun in the 80s here, but I'm just curious, how did you get a splinter? Like, what were you doing? Were you playing tennis with a wooden racket? What happened?
No, I don't even know.
Well, it was good thing you got one, right? Because you probably never would have saw the nurse.
Right. And the nurse was a gentleman, and he told me that the American nurse works every other day, and how much fun it was, and this and that. And I said, okay, something's put in my memory. And even when I was in Copper Mountain, I always write a journal when I'm on vacation about what my thoughts are. And I was intrigued with the GOs. I thought they were very interesting, and they were from all different places. And it seemed like they never slept. And I thought, oh, this is interesting, because I'm a person that doesn't need a lot of sleep. And I thought this was fun.
Well, you're pretty interesting yourself. Let's go down your CV a little bit here. You went to University of Buffalo for your bachelor's. Then you went to NYU for your master's in nursing.
Yeah.
You were a camp counselor in the Catskills, which, you know, let's face it, that prepared you for Club Med, right? Whether you liked it or not, because really that's what we were in a way.
I call Club Med a combination of the Army and camp.
Yes, exactly.
That's literally what it is.
Yeah, that's how I looked at it. Like, and after 10 years in Club Med, I saw that my job was, I would tell the GM, it's your job this week to try and kill yourself with all these activities, and it's my job to stop you. That's what I narrowed it down to, because,
okay,
you know, and you would know, right? Because you saw a lot of injuries. GMs would come on vacation. They have never done this sport, or they hadn't done that sport in 10 years, and they were throwing their bodies around in the hot sun all over the place. It was a recipe, right? I mean, so.
Oh, yeah, so. Yeah. That's exactly what happened. In Punta Cana.
Well, wait. Andrea.
Yeah, okay,
never mind. I'm telling people how much more interesting you are. So you're also a distance swimmer. You speak Spanish, and you're a Francophile. So for those that don't know what a Francophile is, it's basically you love all things French, from French movies to French cuisine, everything French, right?
Yes.
Okay. See, this is very, very interesting.
Oh, okay.
Yes, right? You're like a Renaissance woman.
Oh, yeah.
Now, I am curious about your... So you were living in Philadelphia at the time, like when you were at NYU, and then you had an interview with Linda Taylor, right? So someone actually contacts you from Club Med. They got your application. Do you remember anything about your interview?
I remember everything about it. We sat in a room. I don't remember exactly where. We sat in a room, and they asked a lot of questions and all. And then Linda took me out for lunch. And I guess a lot of nurses don't apply, because nurses, let's say, a good vocation, and you make a nice salary, and you live a nice lifestyle. And here I was, I didn't even know how much the salary was at that time, but it was $400 a month. And we had a conversation, and she asked me when I could be ready. And I said, I have to give at least a month notice, because I had a big position. I was a clinical specialist in a teaching hospital in Philadelphia, with a lot of responsibility. And I wouldn't do that to my boss, leave her without too much, you know.
Leave her in the lurch, so to speak.
Yeah, leave her in the lurch. Thank you. So she said, okay, I can give you like 2 months, but can you leave after a couple of weeks? Can you leave for 3 weeks to go for an interim? A girl, this nurse, and her name was Suzanne. She needed to go home to New York for a while. And so I said, sure, I'd do that. And then when I got back from that trip, I packed up my stuff, put it in storage, gave my checkbook to my mother. She finished paying off my school loans and paid for the storage of all my belongings. And that, and the rest is history.
Lucky you, it was only a 3-week interim, but they send you to Playa Blanca in May of 1990 with the chief of village, Andrea Livingston. And I think you said Hammer might have been chief of sports there, right? Is that right?
Right. He was leaving.
He was leaving. Okay.
She was coming in from her team. I think they were coming from Marbella, Spain.
Okay. And you said back then Playa wasn't closing for rainy season, right? It was
no, it was going to stay completely open. Yeah.
Okay. Now, so 3 weeks, but you probably right away, I think you get a shot of your first scorpion, I guess, incident, right? Like a geo got stung, right?
A geo got stung and it was frightening. And thank goodness, the nurse that was there, her name was Annalisa. She was from Verona, Italy. And we watched the patient together and we were debating whether or not we had to intubate her or give her a tracheostomy. But she continued breathing. And then after a period of time, her breathing became normalized with the steroids, the anti-venom, and everything else. And she was going home like the next day. It was, you know, change of season. And it was frightening for me. I've got to let you know. Because the only thing up to then that I was dealing with in Playa Blanca was sunburns.
Yeah, no, it's true. Like I told you when I was in Playa 96, a female scuba instructor got stung and she was very tough as it was. So I thought she was carrying on a bit until fast forward a couple of years later, I got stung and it's really hard to describe what it's like. I jumped right out of my skin when I got stung and it's almost like it makes your blood boil. It's really hard to describe, but it's.
Well, it hits your nervous system.
I'll say.
And it can make breathing very difficult and can make everything very difficult. I didn't know anything about, like when she said we had anti-venom from the University of wherever it was in New Mexico, I thought she was kidding,
okay.
You know?
Yeah.
And at that point, we didn't have a phone in the infirmary. So what I did was when I knew what was going on, I had somebody go up to the hostess desk, and that was in the olden days when they had a hostess desk. And I asked if they knew where Annalisa was, and then she came right over, which was wonderful because it probably happened at the tail end of breakfast.
Now, I'm impressed with your memory. Like, not only do you remember the name of the nurse, you remember where she's from. So do you remember where she's from because of the Shakespeare line from Romeo and Juliet?
Well,
Verona,
I remember where she's
from. Okay, is that why?
I remember where she's from because we became very friendly and she was going on the Club Med 1 after this. She was on her way out and Andrea brought her nurse with her from Spain. Annalisa, and I just love this girl. She was wonderful. She taught me everything that I needed to know to how to give out the medications, you know, make a good relationship with the photographer because I would get all the empty plastic canisters from film. I mean, I'm dating myself now. And I would give them topicals and pills in that container. And she was just wonderful. I loved Annalisa. She taught me so much. She taught me how to be a GO nurse, you know, because I really didn't know.
Well, let's talk about two other people you did, like David and Tony from Australia.
Yep, David and Tony from Australia. They worked the stage and maybe the disco. I don't know because I never used to go to those things. I used to, well, whatever I did. But they were both into water and I was into water. So we used to, there's a like an island, I want to say like a growth in the middle of the water.
Are you talking about the island right in front of the sailing beach? That small
yes.
island? Yes.
Yeah. And we used to snorkel around it and then swim out. They were fishes and I was a fish. And they were just lovely. And I remember a couple of other people. There was the guy that came down from Montreal. He did choreography and he made the shows happen, but he was just someone that they would call in.
Yeah, kind of like a guest artist, right?
Yes, he was a scream. He's this red-haired guy, and he was just a lot of fun.
Well, I think after, I don't know what point though, after you left Playa, did you not bump into David and Tony on Sixth Avenue in New York?
Yes, I did. I was in New York because I was packing up my apartment in Philly, and I was in New York to go to my friend's wedding, and I'm in a bookstore with another friend of mine, and you know, when you come back from Club Med, you're like a changed person. You're like noisy. You're like a teenager. You can't shut up. And I have diarrhea of the mouth anyway. And so I was in this store and all of a sudden I look up and there they are in a bookstore off of Sixth Avenue. And they had just come from 47th Street Photo. And then after the wedding, I hung out with them. We went to the Statue of Liberty together. We went out later that evening. We went to one of the famous John's pizza places in the West Village together with my friend and her husband. And we just had a blast. It was so nice to run into them. Incredible.
I'll say. And then after these 3 weeks in Playa, now do you request to go to Punta Cana in June or is that where they sent you?
They sent me.
Okay. With the chef de village, Michel Delamar, correct?
Yes, Michel Delamar, his wife and his two teenage kids.
Okay. Now, when you arrived, was it closed or was it closing for renovations? Do you recall?
No, it was actually, I think we were just opening it back up. I don't know what we were doing because I don't remember a team being there. I just remember his team was there. But maybe I came a little bit late because I came in May as opposed to in April.
Okay.
So there was no changing over a staff. I was just joining a staff that was already there. The French nurse, her name was Valerie, and she was really funny. And I became friendly with a lot of different people.
Yeah, sorry. Now, instead of scorpion stings, though, now you're working with sea urchin stings, right?
Because people that they actually would walk.
We'll say forgetful. How's that?
Forgetful.
That word. Yeah.
Or they did not know better.
Okay.
So they would actually walk on the coral reefs and there would be sons of sea urchins and they would get them embedded in their feet, which is very painful and not easy to pull out either.
Yeah, exactly. This is why I insisted on eating sea urchins when I was in Club Med, because I found it nice. I could eat something that could do me harm. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. We never had sea urchins in Club Med when I was there.
They're not bad.
I would have loved that. No.
Sorry, yeah. Is this the season where, because we said you were a Francophile, I find this story intriguing. Is this where you met an actress from one of your favorite French movies? Was it here?
No, that was in Eleuthera.
Okay, we'll save that one for Eleuthera.
Okay.
What about Wendy Rosen? Was she at the bank? This is someone that you...
She was at the bank. She was another New Yorker. She was from, I don't remember where, Spring Valley or something. And she spoke perfect French. She had just graduated from college and wanted to work on her French some more. And so she worked at Club Med. She was a young girl. She was a lot of fun. Yeah, I really, we worked across the street from each other, if you will.
Okay.
Because the infirmary and the bank were just in an open walkway.
And back then, like now, there's always two nurses, right? That's what you mean by you're off one day on the next, right?
Mm-hmm.
But if you're on and that walkie-talkie goes off at 5 a.m., you have to go, correct?
We didn't have walkie-talkies.
Oh, no? Okay.
No, we would post a sign on the infirmary door what room we were sleeping in.
Oh, really? Okay.
And then they would come and they would wake us up. And, you know, I had all different kinds of things from kidney stones to, I had this Italian, oh no, they were Spanish. And I had, here I am walking with my Spanish English dictionary everywhere I went. And they were telling me that they were having PNS whatever the word for kidney was. I don't remember now. And so I looked it up, and then I gave the person some medication.
So in 1990, the nurses still didn't have walkie-talkies?
Nope.
Oh, that sounds strange. No,
no phones, no walkie-talkies.
I could see the no phone thing, but I thought they would have to communicate with you somehow rather than, oh, here's her room. Just she's there. Go knock on her at any time of the night. You know, I don't know.
Right. Exactly. And then you would tell the hostesses when they were on call, when they were available, which was all day until the disco closed, you would tell them where you were. So
okay,
you would
yeah.
say, I'm at the restaurant, you know, whatever, you know, you would have to check in with them all the time.
And how long
So I
did
used
you
to hang out at the hostess desk quite a lot.
And how long did you stay at Punta Cana?
I was in Punta Cana, I think, till the end of September. Then we were closing the village.
More renovation?
I think it was renovation or something.
Okay.
Because I don't remember a team coming in. I remember we were all going.
Okay. Then how do you get to Sonora Bay next? Is this something that you
Well,
request?
he said, you know, there's a my chief of village or whomever, maybe it was the bank, not the bank, maybe it was transportation. Carlos may have said to me, you know, are you interested in going to another club? I'm like, yeah, I don't want to go home. So myself, a costume designer and a sailing GO, we went to Miami and then we went to Sonora Bay. I don't even think we knew where we were going.
But what a beautiful
But we
village, right?
landed in gorgeous village. Just loved it there. Very different. I had been in the Caribbean before, and this was, and I've been on the west coast of Mexico, but I had never been here. And this is across from the Baja, and it's quite northern. It was just like, I guess, about a 2 or 3 hour drive.
And
It was like really brown sand, blue water, a beautiful club, very different. And it was also the place where they filmed, what's the name of that movie? Oh my God.
Zorro?
No, they filmed, it'll come to me.
Okay. Yeah, you can let me know after when
Catch 22.
Catch 22. All right, Joseph
So
Miller.
if you look at Catch 22, you'll see the mountains that we were there. And it was wrecked. They still had like a make-believe helicopter port there. It was really something else because we drove around.
And here your chief of village is Alain Blanc.
Yep.
Who I think was one of your favorites, right?
Absolutely. Great guy. Great
Also
guy.
also a tough guy, right? You mind telling the listeners the
No, he
stitches
cut
story?
himself. Yeah, he cut himself. And see, every village that has children or scuba has a doctor on the premises like all the time. Anyway, the doctor was out on the scuba boat and Alan, I should say, comes in and his wrist, above his wrist, he ripped a piece of skin and it was quite deep. And I said, well, what I can do right now is clean it out and put some, you know, butterflies on it. And when Jose comes back, he'll stitch you up. He goes, no, just give me the thing. And he stitched himself up. I was in shock.
And you, at that point, as a nurse, you really weren't in charge of, or, you know, you didn't have to give stitches, right?
I've never given stitches. I don't know anything about them. There's a very special way that you do it. And
Well,
he
yeah.
knew exactly what to do.
How
So
did he know?
he must have been like the best Boy Scout ever.
Okay.
That's all I know.
All right. That's a tough chief of village. I'll have to admit, I've never heard a story like that before. That's pretty, that's a guy's guy, right? That's a macho man.
I think he was into wrestling in college.
Okay. Yeah, I can
I
see
don't
that.
know.
Anyone
He
that
was
gives
there with his
themselves.
wife and two small children.
Okay.
And Chrissy Harrington was my chief of sports. And we were closing that village also. And we had a tennis tournament after all the GMs left. We had a tennis tournament one night. We had a GO party another night. And then the last day, the last couple of days that we were there, a big whale, I don't know what kind of whale, a dead whale in pieces washed up on the shoreline. And that was incredible.
And wait, so you said, so Chris, yes, I've heard the name Christy Harrington come up a lot on this. So, and she was a female chief of sports, which back
yes.
then she was probably the only one, I'm guessing, in the North American zone, right?
I would imagine so. She was a great gal. One day she was riding, you know, Sonora Bay had horses, and she was riding horses, and she went into one of those saguaro cactuses. And I was there sitting there trying to get the needles out, and I couldn't get them all out. But when I ran into her in 2018 at the GO reunion, I asked her about her knee, and everything was gone.
Okay.
Because I thought she was going to have them for the rest of her life. I really did.
And with you also this season in Sonora is Tracy Nathan, right?
Yep. I met Tracy. Tracy was a great gal. She was with the horses. We became friends along with another girl who was a hostess. Her name was Susan. She may have been Tracy's roommate. I don't know. But yeah, so here I am hanging out with these really young people. Because I was older. I had graduated college in 77. So I was already like 37 years old when I started at Club Med. I was older than everybody except for Michelle Legrand Delamar.
Okay.
And a couple of the GOs that are on the maintenance team, some of those maintenance team GOs were, you know, they've been with the club for like 20 years or whatever. And,
yes.
You know, it was just crazy. All these young people. I loved being around all the young people. It was so much fun.
Oh, yeah. Tell me the story about, I don't think it was Johnny Scuba, but it was a guy on the scuba team named John, and he had these certain pair of shorts. Do you mind telling me the story?
At that point, wearing fluorescent clothing was, this is like 1991, very popular. Bathing suits and everything were fluorescent. And he had a pair of fluorescent shorts that he had been wearing that whole season, apparently. And they were really, really faded. One of the last days, I don't remember exactly what the occasion was, but I have pictures and everything, I think. They ravaged his room, pulled out the shorts, the bathing trunks, and burned them right at the front of the village. It was really hysterical. And everybody was there. Everybody. I don't remember. Maybe it was one of the first departures of everybody leaving, or maybe we were all getting on a plane. I don't remember. But Sonora was closing for the winter because it was freezing.
Yes. So you were there about 3 months total, correct?
Yeah, I left right before Christmas.
Okay. But they seemed they had another village lined up for you. December 91, they send you to the beautiful Eleuthera, correct?
Oh my God, so gorgeous, so gorgeous.
Pink sand beach, right?
Pink sand beach that doesn't get hot just like Cancun because it's coral sand. And I love sand that doesn't get hot. You don't have to worry about your feet burning. Not like what you had in Israel.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, still the hottest sand I've ever stepped foot on.
I could just imagine. I could just imagine.
But I already had done 10 years in Club N. My feet should have been numb, but they weren't. That's how hot it was. Okay.
Well, you must have had a pedicure before you went to Eleuthera.
I never had one of those in my life. Nothing wrong with them. Just never had one, people. All right.
Okay.
So Eleuthera, chief of village, Dirk Nowira, and Steve Riley was the chief of sports here, right?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay. Now, I'd like to hear this story because we mentioned that in the intro, you're a Francophile. You like a lot of French movies from the, you know, even the 70s. So you like The Last Metro by François Truffaut. You also like this movie called Cousin Cousine, which
right.
I don't know if anyone's ever seen. And one of the actresses.
Well, they made it in English, too.
Well, yes, but you're a stalwart. You were like, no, the French version. And one of the actresses, the main actresses in this movie, shows up in Eleuthera. Only you know who she is. And
I'm the only one.
So tell us how your first encounter went.
Okay, so she comes into the infirmary, and I recognized her right away. I had seen her by the pool. So she comes into my infirmary and, you know, I have to ask their name, but I said, excuse me, are you Marie-France Pizier? And I don't think I'm saying it correctly. And she goes, yes, I think so. And I said, oh, I just love you. And then she, you know, she told me what she wanted. And I,
well, wait, excuse me, Andrea. And she didn't, like, for her, this was normal. Here's a nurse from Queens, an American who actually knows who she is. And she was nonplussed. It's almost like she expected you to know who she was.
it was very, how can I say, she was kind of like uninvolved.
Yes.
She was disinterested.
Yeah, because you're not her usual fan base, I'm guessing. So if I was that actress, I'd be like, oh my God, how do you know me? You know?
I know. I said to her, are you Marie France? And, you know, she said, yes. And, you know, and she didn't like say, yes, thank you for recognizing me. No, she was like, yes, like, this happens to her. Like, yeah. I didn't ask for her autograph or anything.
Yeah, yeah. Who should I make it out to? Yeah, no, I didn't ask you that.
Yeah, you know, she just told me what she wanted and I fulfilled her desire and that was it.
Yes, and when we spoke, I thought it was an odd request, but apparently you're saying back then someone wanted a B12 injection. That was completely normal, right?
Absolutely normal.
Okay.
The Europeans like all kinds of vitamins. Okay. And the thing is, afterwards, I told the French nurse that I was working with, Veronique, who was not so young. She had been with the club. She was probably about, I don't know, 29, 30. So she wasn't like a 22-year-old nurse, because I had worked with like a 22-year-old nurse in wherever I was. I don't remember. She was coming into Playa Blanca, the European nurse. Anyway. But, you know, I was surprised that Veronique did not know who she was. And then I spoke with my other French friends and nobody knew who she was.
Are you serious?
I'm serious. Okay. No one knew who she was.
Okay. The story gets even crazier. So now the French don't recognize her. Okay.
No, because they're too young. That was like an adult kind of a movie.
Okay. Got
it. It's not like a bang 'em up. You know, it wasn't like Spider-Man or something or, you know, okay. The people that work at the club, they know what's going on at the club, but they don't know what's going on in the world.
Okay, got
it. As you well know.
Yeah. All right. And now this 91 to 92 season in Luthra, I think here we have Graham Maxwell and Soraya, correct?
Yes. And India also.
Okay.
India Elites, yeah.
So Graham Maxwell must have been the choreographer here.
He wasn't the choreographer. He was doing stage building, but he was just getting into it.
Oh,
he wanted
that's
to do
right.
It.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, he was on the show. Yeah, he started off doing that, I believe. Yes, that's right.
Yeah, and I love, when I lived in Philly, I used to do theater work, like props and things like that. And so I always, at every club, I always tried to get to know the people that work the stage.
Okay. But
because I like that.
Okay. And Graham was destined for greater things.
Oh my anyway, God, such a talent.
Yeah, exactly. I never got to work with him, but I've always heard stories about him. So I was happy when he came on the podcast. Yeah.
Me too.
All right. So Luthra, you're there from about December 91 to April 92. So, and I always think people like you that got to work there are lucky, because I did the two other resorts in the Bahamas, but sadly I never got to work in a Luthra. So you must have been, like many people, when you heard it closed, probably sad, right?
Right. But when you see the pictures of it, because it got destroyed in a hurricane.
Yeah. Well, they all do, right? I went through 6 hurricanes at Columbus and, you know, they almost destroyed the village each time, but they just kept rebuilding it up. Okay.
Yeah, but Luthra, I don't know why they left that property. It was such a beautiful property.
Yeah, yeah, no.
And, you know, it's not like when I went to Cancun in, I think, 87 or 88, there was nothing there except for the club. And now, of course, it's a whole strip. Luthra, there can't be a strip. There's nothing there.
That's right. Yeah, when you were in Cancun, you got this, because I like looking at those old photos where it's just the Club Med, and, you know, but now when you go, it's nothing but hotels up and down the strip, right? So
yeah, it's Miami Beach.
Yeah, yeah. All right. So what else can you tell me about your season in Luthra? I figure this is your last season, right? So
yeah, this was my last season. We had a lot of photo shoots, a lot of Canadian commercials being made.
Were these beer commercials, Andrea?
No, they weren't beer. They were commercials for Club Med.
Oh, okay.
And I don't remember who it was, but They came over from Nassau, this woman and her husband worked for the club and she was the wife with her baby. And they used to come over a lot. And other people from Miami used to come over for a lot because I guess it was the closest club at that point or the nicest that was close by. We always had all these visitors from Club Med.
And I think you told me in your pre-interview, Andrea, that this season at Luthra is one where you kind of got utilized the most, right? You did shows and you were even an Olympic Day captain, were you not?
No, I was actually Olympic Day captain in Sonora Bay, which was really crazy.
Oh, okay. Sorry about that. It's not often you see a nurse.
No.
I mean, being an Olympic Day captain at all. So that's pretty cool, no?
Yeah, it was fun. It was really fun to help to do the GM show and all that kind of stuff.
And did you anchor your team in the beer drinking competition at the end, or were they not doing that as the last event?
I don't remember that.
Oh, okay. Usually that was the when I started, that was the last event of the Olympic Day. And right before, like usually at the bar at 7, you know. Okay, so
I don't remember that.
Okay, so you dodged that bullet. That's pretty good. Okay.
Yeah, but in Eleuthera. Yes. Eleuthera was wonderful because we had all these people and we would have a lot of people because it's a family club. We had a lot of people celebrating like 25th and 50th wedding anniversaries with all their grandchildren and their families. It was so fun. Like at every club, I'm a big Scrabble player. So I would play Scrabble with the GMs, like when the weather was bad. And I just want to tell you the funniest question that I ever got asked at dinner. Okay, because I had a very rehearsed answer. They would say, "Are you really a nurse?" And I would go, "Well, when I went to my interview, they gave us a kind of like a aptitude test. And I said I knew how to put on Band-Aids. So they gave me the job as the nurse."
Okay. Now I do like I didn't realize though that the GO nurse would actually get asked that question. So this was an honest question that you would get a lot.
All the time.
Okay.
And so I would say, "No, I was a clinical specialist at blah blah hospital in Philadelphia. I'm an ICU nurse. The American nurses always has ICU background and I'm very well prepared."
Okay.
But no, I used to give them this like crazy answer.
Well, they would believe you, right? Because I found in Club Med, the more outrageous excuse or lie I told, the more I was believed. So they probably believed you anyway, right?
Right. It's like, when is it going to stop raining? When it does.
Yes. You know, yeah. Well, what did you say to that question? Did
when
you
it guys does. Have a,
okay. You know what we used to say?
Well, uh-uh.
When we were asked, when's it going to stop raining? We'd say, "Oh, sorry, I'm G-O, not G-O-D. I don't know." Yeah, you had to find the humor somewhere in that question because you were getting it all the time.
all the time.
Yes. Certain people wanted to know exactly, like, what time and minute will it stop raining? So
right, like we had access to a TV or whatever. You know, we didn't even have access to a TV.
That's right. When you were there in the early 90s, yeah, I don't think you even had a TV room, let alone, I mean, TVs in the rooms, right?
No, there were no TVs in the rooms, no phones, no nothing.
No newspapers. So you got your news by the guests that were coming in, right? If you wanted to know something, like when I started, it was the O.J. Simpson trial. And I remember thinking,
"Oh, my God,
why are people asking New Yorkers about the O.J. Simpson trial?" Because it was my first season. But then I'd realize, well, this is how they're getting their news. There's nothing on the island, you know?
Yeah. Being a nice girl from New York, and I, you know, well, whatever I am, and Passover was coming up. So I asked the chief of the village, I said, "Are you doing anything for Passover? Because it's a very major holiday." You know, here he is, this German guy. And he's like, "Oh, yeah, we should do something." And I said, "Well, I'll help do it. Can I have the help of," we had another Jewish chef from New York. And so he coordinated it. And I had a sign up list and we had like about 80 to 100 people at the alternative restaurant who I can't remember the name of it. We hosted a wonderful Passover Seder. It was really fun. That was like the only major thing that I did other than go on picnics where I would help cook. I was lucky. I never had to go on a picnic at the singles clubs where, you know, the activities were very different.
Yeah, we wouldn't be able to talk about those ones anyway, but I understand what you're saying.
Yeah, so I would help cook and I would just do my swimming thing and talk to people. I love the guests and I love the GOs. I always made friends with all the chefs, you know, the cooks, I should say. I just, and the mini club, I love the mini club. It was just so much fun.
And I think of your seasons from, you know, Playa and Punta Sonora Bay and Eleuthera, though, was it that your most magical season was Sonora Bay, would you say?
Well, Sonora Bay was most different. I still have shells that I collected from there, from the beach, all dead things. Eleuthera I loved completely because I would go to the library every other day and pick up books. I was reading so many books. I broke my toe in Eleuthera. They should never have square tables in a disco because
Okay.
I slammed my foot against it.
But do you hold one season above all the others though? Is there
I
one
think
special?
they were all very special in so many different ways.
Okay.
In terms of the beach, I loved Sonora Bay the most because it was so different. But, and the swimming, oh my God, swimming with the pelicans, fantastic. In Eleuthera, I would swim on both sides of the island because we had the snorkel area and the water ski was on, I guess, the Caribbean side, and then other activities were on the Atlantic side, and there was like a 3/4 mile walk to get between one side or the other. It was just, that was really spectacular. The water there was beautiful. The water in Punta Cana was fantastic. The water in Playa Blanca was very, very blue, but not as blue as it was in the Sonora Bay. And the water in the Caribbean and in the South Atlantic is that turquoise. I live for water. I love the water. Loved it. Very happy that all these clubs had swimming pools that I could do my mile. I used to swim a mile a day when I was younger.
All right. Besides the water and the swimming, because you left Club Med in 91. So what are some of the things you miss about it?
I miss the camaraderie of all the people. I miss meeting people from all over the world and feeling like that I could speak to them. Because I love that. Of course, I miss having a beautiful buffet 3 times a day. and I miss being able to like walk like less than 5 minutes and be on the beach, you know?
Yeah, and walking barefoot with a bathing suit and Perio, right?
Exactly. I miss walking around like half naked all the time, even though I do it here. I have a
Okay.
swimming pool right here, and I walk to the pool just carrying my towel and wearing my bathing suit.
Nice. Very
It's
nice.
very nice.
Okay, Andrew, I just want to take you back to Punta Cana for a sec because the chief of sports there had two kids, right? And you remember
No,
them quite well.
he just had one kid.
One kid,
He
okay.
was there with his baby and his wife. His wife's name was Drew, and his name was Steve. And I ran into them at the 2018 GO reunion, and they were telling me about their daughter, who, of course, I remember very well. She celebrated her first birthday at Punta Cana, and I wrote a poem for her because she was very special. I used to eat breakfast with them every day. And they told me that their daughter had married a GO as well. And I was just like shocked. And then when I got into your podcast, she was interviewed. Her name is Carly Ann.
That's right, Carly Ann Dell. And so her father was chief of sports in Punta. Okay. And then you met them at this reunion in Cancun, right? It's all cyclical. It all comes around.
Absolutely.
That's a
It's
great story.
Wonderful. It's the wonderful world of Club Med.
And looking back, I'm guessing that you're glad that you did it, right? Like you took the chance when you did. Like, I'm assuming you don't have any regret about leaving the job you were working at to go be a nurse at Club Med, right?
No, I don't. My father used to say, you ruined your life.
Ouch. Okay. Don't hold back, Dad. Tell me what you really think. Okay. But you didn't see it that way, right?
No, I thought that it was a wonderful experience. I learned how to scuba dive. I took tennis lessons like every other day. I was in great physical shape until I got to Eleuther, where they had that vending machine that gives you custard, and I gained like 10 pounds.
What? A vending machine that gives you custard?
Well, it wasn't a vending machine. They had an ice cream machine in
Oh,
the
okay.
cafeteria.
Oh, okay. Got it. Okay.
And I used to fill myself up with ice cream like every day. I got really fat at Eleuther, and a lot
No.
of other geos did also.
No, but you were very active, so I thought you weren't gaining any ground, but you weren't losing any ground, is the way I picture it, with all the swimming you did and all the other stuff.
Yeah,
Nope.
no, I could eat
Okay.
anyone under a table. I could eat so much food. It's
Okay.
ridiculous.
They should have made that an event in the Olympic day, right? Custard
Oh, yes.
eating competition. Okay.
Oh, I'll tell you one other very funny story. This happens,
Sure.
I think, at Eleuther every night of the week. You know, Tuesday was this kind of food, da da da. Thursday was Oriental cuisine. And this woman goes over and she takes a big scoop of what she thinks is guacamole and
Uh-oh.
puts it on her plate, like this giant scoop. And of course, it was wasabi. And I said to her, here I am being the good nurse. I said, excuse me, but I happen to be the nurse, and I just want you to put all that back or take another plate, because if you just stick your finger in it and just get the tiniest little bit of it on your finger and taste it, you will see it is not guacamole. And she almost died.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's a lot of people made that mistake. Not saying I did, but I knew a lot. Okay.
Oh, it was so funny.
Yeah. It's they have to label those things better.
Oh my God. Yep.
Well, Andrea,
But
this has been so good of you to share your story with us here today. Thanks so much for this.
well, I want to thank you, Greg, so much for bringing all these memories back and for helping all of us relive our tales. So thank you.
Yeah, I can't wait for people to hear your story, and the people that haven't heard your voice since the early 90s are going to love this.
I hope so. I don't know. I hope it came out okay.
Sure it did. Come on, man. Now remember,
Okay.
you promise to find me some pictures, so the GMs
Oh,
or
I
the
will.
GM and the XGOs listening are going to want to see some. So
Yeah, I will.
thank you so much, Andrea, again for taking the time.
Thank you, sir.
Well, everyone, that was the one, the only Andrea Chasen, and we will see you all here next week for a new installment, my first season. Bye.